sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series. And maybe sooner than we think.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play.
What's going on, Cubs fans? I'm Sean Sears, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. The Cubs complete the sweep of the Pirates, pulling off an extra innings win Sunday afternoon to improve the record to 7-2 on the season. We'll recap the weekend sweep in the first segment, and then preview the Cubs matchup with the Royals, which is 2 at Wrigley, 2 in Kansas City, and then they hit the road against the Cardinals. We'll talk about that series and more, as well as a few other news bullets here in the second segment. Today's episode is brought to you in partnership with CubsInsider.com. Read a Cubs Insider about Tyler Chatwood and how he's been mowing guys down with his cutter. Another impressive performance this weekend. Apparently, it's a change of grip that's making the difference. Read about that and more at CubsInsider.com, official partner of Locked On Cubs. You can get Locked On Cubs on whatever podcast app you use, whether it's Google, Apple, Spotify, TuneIn app, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever you're listening to your podcast. Make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star review. And then make sure you follow us on Twitter at Lockdown Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. And then make sure you're checking out our new Lockdown MLB Prospect podcast hosted by Aram Layton. He is the Marlins contributor. He's already gotten a couple top prospects to come onto the podcast. So those episodes are becoming. I think he might actually be talking with Brendan Davis, a guy we talked to actually earlier during the quarantine for one of the Cubs' top prospects. So check that out if you're interested in hearing about some of the up-and-coming players as they've got good amount of time sitting around, a lot of them not necessarily a part of the 60-man roster. So check that out. Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by Aram Layton. But here in the first segment, the Cubs sweep the Pirates. They take 3-3. That's what a sweep is. A fun weekend. Not necessarily a challenging weekend for the Cubs, but they did have to work a little bit on Saturday and Sunday to get these wins. Friday, though, the Cubs end up taking that first game 6-3, Saturday 4-3, Sunday 2-1 on that walk-off I mentioned, though. Pittsburgh, a team trying to figure themselves out. They came into the series as one of the lower-end offenses in baseball, had been struggling to score runs, and that was the case in Friday's game as the Cubs went 6-3. On the mound for the Cubs, it was none other than Yu Darvish, who picked up his first win of the year. He won 6 innings, 2 hits, just 1 walk, but 7 strikeouts, and no home runs, and a 2.70 ERA on the season. Kyle Ryan came in afterwards. He pitched an inning, gave up 1 hit, 1 run. Rowan Wick afterwards, an inning of work, 2 hits, 1 strikeout. And then Craig Kimbrell, he's the one that gives up some damage. He gives up 2 solo shots in the bottom of the ninth, or excuse me, top of the ninth. It allows just 1 inning of work, those 2 hits, 200 runs. His ERA jumps up to 27 on the season. The Cubs still come away winning this game 6-3, though. On the other side of things for Pittsburgh, it was Trevor Williams who takes his second loss of the year. He goes 5 2/3, 4 hits, 3 earned runs, excuse me, 3 runs, 2 earned, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts, and a home run. His ERA is 5.40 on the year. It was a combination of relievers I had never heard of from the Pirates. Nick Turrell, Jeff Hartleb, Miguel Del Pozo, and then I believe this is a Lithuanian player, Dovdas, never Costas? Boy, I just butchered that. I'm so sorry. But a random collection of Pittsburgh relievers, that's probably going to be the norm for them throughout this year. But the scoring didn't start until the bottom of third when Javier Baez hit a single back to the pitcher, essentially a bunt in front of home plate. Bryant was able to score. He advanced on an error to first, the throwaway there. No RBI actually earned. Rizzo and Baez move up to third and second, but the throwaway from Williams allows Bryant to score in the play. The Cubs take a 1-0 lead. Bottom of the fourth, Jason Kipnis hits a home run deep to right field. He pulls it. Cubs up now 2-0. Stays that way till the bottom of the fifth when Jason Hayward singled through the right field side on a ground ball. Chris Bryant and Kyle Schwarber able to score on the play. Schwarber got on with a walk as well as Chris Bryant. Trevor Williams actually walked Bryant, Rizzo, and then gave up a fly ball to Javier Baez, kind of on a line to right field. They pulled him immediately after that. Nick Turrell then walked Kyle Schwarber and then walked Wilson Contreras. So Rizzo was picked off at first, by the way, during that Javier Baez at bat. So the base, he didn't walk in a run, but the bases were loaded for Jason Hayward when he hit that single. So the Cubs take a 4-0 lead. Stays that way until the bottom of, or excuse me, the top of the seventh. Jerod Dyson hits a single into right field through first and second on the ground. Gregory Polanco scores on the play. He was able to get on after hitting a double off of Kyle Ryan. He was then replaced by Rowan Wick. So the run's not charged to Wick, but Anthony Rizzo gets it back. He hits a single in the left field. Horner scores as well as Happ on the play. Bryant moves up to third. The Cubs now up 6-1. And that's when Craig Kimbrell comes into this game and immediately allows a home run to Josh Bell and then Colin Moran. Immediately, one pitch after another, it was a 1-1 count to Josh Bell, and then the next pitch, Colin Moran took it out of the park. So the Pirates now only down 6-3 at the bottom of the seventh. Kimbrel's able to work himself out of the jam. He still holds on. The Cubs win this one on Friday, 6-3. Taking a look into Saturday's game, it was Tyler Chatwood who was just absolutely filthy. He tied his career high in strikeouts with 11. It looked like he was going to get close to maybe 12 or 13 early on in this game. He had, I think, about 7 strikeouts for the first 3 innings. He was on. His second win of the year, he went 6 2/3, 3 hits, 2 walks, and those 11 strikeouts. His ERA is now lowered down to 0.71. Great outing from Tyler Chatwood. On the opposite end, Mitch Keller, he picked up the loss. He only was able to go 2 2/3 innings, allowed 5 hits, 2 earned runs, a walk, and a strikeout, 2 home runs, though. Cubs just kind of had the Pirates' number a little bit. They were able to tack on 2 more against Michael Feliz here later on in this game. But Jeremy Jeffress, Kyle Ryan, and Rowan Wick were the pitchers that came in. Kyle Ryan gave up the 3 runs, though, in the ninth, and it was Rowan Wick that had to come get the final 2 outs and eventually that save. So Rowan Wick has looked really good, yet to allow a run so far in his outings. Same with Jeremy Jeffress, who picked up a hold after an inning and third of work with 1 strikeout. So bullpen not so great through Friday and Saturday. That does improve Sunday, but before we jump there, let's go through the scoring quickly in this. The Cubs, bottom of the third, it's Ian Happ. He hits a home run to deep center field, and Javier Baez follows it up shortly after. Happ's ball drove to center field. It was pretty good. Javier Baez hit a no freaking doubter to center field. Just like, it had to be 440, 450 feet. Just crushed. And the sound it made when he hit those empty bleachers in center field. Oh, man. He smoked it out of there. The Cubs take a 2-0 lead in the bottom of the third. It stays that way all the way until the bottom of the seventh when Kyle Schwarber hits a home run to left field. He goes opposite field with Baez on base, who'd walked prior. Cubs now up 4-0. Top of the ninth, things get shaky again. Kyle Ryan, after he allows a single to Kevin Newman, Colin Moran is able to get a hold of him, scores Newman. Pirates down now just 4-2. Kyle Ryan pulled, Rowan Wick comes in. Gregory Polanco, Brian Reynolds hit a double. Gregory Polanco then grounds out to shortstop. Reynolds makes up, gets the ball, somehow got advanced to third on a defensive indifference. It was an awkward play. Ball thrown away, and then Polanco was able to move up. So Rowan Wick then gets Gregory Polanco to ground out, but Reynolds scores on the play. So it's now just 4-3. He does walk Philip Evans, but then is able to get Jose Ozuna to ground out to shortstop, or excuse me, second base. Ozuna out at first. The Cubs take that game 4-3. So now, Sunday's matchup here, the Cubs going for the sweep. It is John Lester on the mound, who's coming off a no-hitter, facing off with Stephen Brault, who came in here as the opener. He was able to get 3 innings, looked really good, 4 strikeouts. That was great. Jack Kuhl comes in, and the Cubs are able to get some runs off of him, but then they don't score again until the 11th inning. But for the Cubs, John Lester went 6 innings, 4 hits, just 1 earned run. The second batter he faced gave up a home run. 4 strikeouts, his ERA in the season, 0.82. Casey Sadler, great work. Dan Winkler, Ryan Tapera, Jeremy Jeffers. The Cubs bullpen teams up for 5 scoreless innings. That was great to see. Dan Winkler looked really good. He had 2 strikeouts in his outing. Casey Sadler had another, and then Tapera and Jeffers, no strikeouts, but no runs allowed. Tapera able to lower his ERA down to 9, which is good. But great outing from the bullpen. It's hard to get upset with that effort. So, but scoring started, as I mentioned, at the top of the first. Kevin Newman hits a home run deep to left center field. The Pirates take their first lead of the series Sunday afternoon, 1-0. It stays that way until the bottom of the ninth, or bottom of the eighth, when Kyle Schwarber is able to hit a double into center field after Wilson Contreras smoked a ball over, I believe it was Jason Cole in center field, who's typically a shortstop. Smoked it over his head. He's able to round first hard and get into second, and then Schwarber hits a no-doubt double into center field. Contreras is able to score in the play. Probably shouldn't have gone. It actually looked like Will Venable held him up, but he blew through it and was able to make a nice swim move into home plate and scores. So the Cubs tie that game at one apiece. Now, I did get a question about this. Ian Happ later on in this game. So Josh Fegley was in this lineup and DHing. He was pinch hit for it in the bottom of the fifth, which then made it so the Cubs had to forfeit the DH throughout this game. So that means pitchers were batting, pinch hitters were coming in. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I know someone was saying, you know, why pinch hit for your DH if you're just going to, or why put a guy at DH if you're just going to pinch hit for him? Whatever. You know, Ian Happ actually was able to go back into the DH spot, so they didn't replace him with a pitcher immediately. But I mean, it's fine. You have so many players to pick off your bench right now. Each time that spot comes in the lineup, you probably could pinch hit for him again and still have players on your bench. So I don't think it's that big of a deal here, but Kyle Schwarber ties the game up at one apiece. It stays that way all the way until the 11th. But before we get there, oh man, the Cubs had a great chance in the bottom of the 10th. It starts with Ian Happ walking against Sam Howard, Nico Horner, then with Souza on base, by the way, because of the extra innings rule, the player who made the last out in the previous inning starts at second base. So Souza actually, while after Ian Happ walked, Nico Horner goes up to the plate. Souza steals third outright on a fake bunt attempt, or on a bunt attempt that Horner looked like he pulled back. They still call the strike, but because Jose Ozuna charged the ball on the play from third base, Souza walked into third base. So they've got a runner on third and first with one out, with no outs, actually. Horner then strikes out, but as he strikes out, Happ was able to steal second. So that takes away the double play ball. Almora comes up. Oh, man. He had a slider that stayed on the inside portion of the plate. Howard has this vicious slider that starts from one side of the plate and the other, and it usually dips down and low out of the strike zone, particularly against right-handed hitters. It's a tough ball. But Howard made somewhat of a mistake, and kind of in the middle center, you know, guess inside middle cut fat or slider coming into the zone, and Almora was just early on it, pulled it. I don't know how you pull that ball, but that was disappointing to see. He then struck out swinging, and then David Bodie popped out to first in foul territory. The Cubs squander their best scoring chance in extra innings. Jeremy Jeffers is able to go 1-2-3 in the top of the 11th, and then top of or bottom of the 9th. With a runner on second again, by the way, David Bodie made the last out in the inning prior, so he's at second. Anthony Rizzo hits a fly ball to deep right field. Bodie's able to tag from second to third. So with one out, a 2-0 count, Javier Baez scorches a single right up the middle in the center field. Bodie scores. Cubs win 2-1. They walk it off thanks to Javier Baez. And the walk-off celebration was very interesting. A lot of air fives, jumping around in 6 feet apart sort of thing. It was nice to see. A good win, a good series win to get for the Cubs. They now welcome in Kansas City for two games, and then head to Kansas City for two more games. So, big win. Obviously, the Pirates, not necessarily a great team. They do have some decent pitching. There were some good relievers that came out of their bullpen. I know JD was talking on the broadcast how much he loved, I think it was a JT, something like Brudemaker or something like that. In Saturday's game, he was a big fan of some of these relievers. They've got some talented guys, and obviously, when you've got 60 guys to play with on a 30-man roster, you know, you can find some ways to get some pitchers in there. So it was a fun weekend. The Cubs take these three games, and it's hard to be upset with the results. So overall, can't complain. Now, there was a really nice play from Schwarber in the outfield in the top of the 10th that did not allow a run scored. It was Spalding rounding third, a ball shot into left field. Kyle Schwarber with a great toss to Wilson Contreras, who caught the ball, got slammed into by Spalding, still holds on to the ball, and they maintain their lead at one, or maintain the tie game. they win that in the 11th. So great defensive play. Another big defensive play from Kyle Schwarber. Contreras has looked great. The outfield has played extremely well. We've seen some excellent plays from both Rizzo and Baez. This defense looks a lot better this year, and we're seeing these guys play up to level we've expected them to. It was announced Chris Bryant was scratched from the lineup on Saturday and did not play Sunday. He has, I think, an upset stomach is what they were calling it, but he started to self-quarantine. He went through the protocols himself. He's had two negative COVID tests so far. He was supposed to get tested again yesterday and likely again today. He should hopefully be able to return to the team shortly, but David Ross on the feeling or on the situation. Chris Bryant's feeling good. It's kind of out of our hands right now, just following the protocols through MLB. He really needs to be commended for going in and getting checked out. With all that we've got going on, we're trying to take the right precautions to keep everybody safe, but Chris feels much better today. The stomach issues are gone and the test came back negative. So sounds like Bryant should be okay. You know, rather be safe than sorry. Hopefully he starts to work himself back into his groove as the Cubs leadoff hitter. They definitely need some pop at the top of that lineup. It's been Ian Happ, Nico Horner, David Bote driving a lot of these runs. So maybe once Chris gets going, the rest of the lineup can click in. But it's not like the Cubs have absolutely needed runs. They've been able to score quite a bit. So nice to see here. But with that, we've got Cubs versus Royals to talk about, as well as whether or not David Ross thinks Craig Kimbrell should still be his closer. And the Cubs offense, top 10 in runs scored. Plenty of good things to talk about here as we enter the second segment. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner when you're eating lunch. I love food, and that's why I love using Postmates. But I kind of love them even more right now because I get food delivered without leaving the house or even opening my door. Given what's going on in the world, they've created non-contact deliveries. So now when I order from local restaurants, everything gets left right outside my door. They also have Postmates Pickup, which I've been using to order takeout from my favorite local restaurants. Listen up, you guys need to support your local neighborhood spots right now. I've been ordering local because it's a great way to support my community. And Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushis. They actually take care of my life and make it a lot easier by picking up everything I need from like Walgreens, 7-Eleven, and dropping it out right outside of my door. I actually forgot my mask back home in the suburbs. They were able to deliver masks right outside my door so then I could leave to go do whatever I needed to do, which is awesome. Just download Postmates on the iOS or Android app, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within an hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. Start your free deliveries, download the app, and use code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credits for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Welcome back to Locked On Cubs. Of course, I am Sean Sears. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. You can follow Locked On Cubs on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. You guessed it. Check out the new podcast from Locked On here, Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by RM Layton. Should be an exciting podcast. I'm excited to hear some of these prospects. And then, of course, we are brought to you in partnership with CubsInsider.com. Head to CubsInsider.com to check out everything Cubs, as well as the previews for this week against the Royals. Speaking of the Royals, it's Cubs Royals, Alec Mills versus Danny Duffy. Not necessarily a title card matchup here between two pitchers, but Danny Duffy, a guy who at one point was a really good pitcher for the Royals, has dealt with injuries the last couple of years, but so far he took the loss in his first outing on the year. He's actually pitched twice now, technically. This will be his third outing here. He took the loss in his start against Cleveland, got a no decision against Detroit, taking them out against versus the Cubs. On the season, he's 0-1 with a 5.79 ERA. He's got 10 strikeouts to just one walk, but he has given up 6 earned runs and a home run so far. Getting smacked around a little bit, he gave up 4 runs to the Tigers, who were not good, but also beat up on the Reds too. So maybe there's something going on with these Detroit Tigers. But Danny Duffy, a guy, a great curveball, good off-speed stuff. His fastball sits around 90 to 92. When he's not walking guys, he's kind of getting hit right now, and he hasn't walked too many guys with 10 strikeouts. He's either missing bats or getting clobbered right now. So hopefully the Cubs can take advantage of that. Whereas Alec Mills, who's had one start on the season against Cincinnati, who looked great. 6 innings, 2 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts, 1 home run allowed. ERA 3.00 on the season. Alec Mills, we kind of know what the guy is. He locates well in the lower half of the strike zone, broke off a curveball a couple times in his start against the Reds. He's very much a changeup. two-seam type of guy. Those movements are similar. He'll break off that curveball. Sometimes he does have a cutter. He's got an array of pitches, but he's mainly going to work with his changeup and his two-seamer. Those will be his two best options. So if he's locating the lower half of the zone, there isn't too many Royals you have to necessarily be worried about outside of maybe former Cub Jorge Soler, who does seem to smash the ball right now. He is still hitting with a crazy hard hit contact of 47.8%, which is the 14th highest in the league, or one of the highest in the league. He's got a 14th highest in exit velocity this season. So he's tearing the cover off the ball. He's got a weighted runs creation plus of 155, OPSing just under 900. So, dudes, nuts. Pretty much a bummer that the Cubs let him go. Royals also have Greg Holland, who's actually had a nice start to the season. He's thrown five scoreless innings before surrendering a couple runs against the White Sox in his sixth appearance. Struck out seven batters. He's kind of an interesting bullpen guy. Does get a lot of ground balls. The command isn't quite there, but you can say a lot about that. You can say that about a lot of Cubs pitchers as well. So Holland, a guy I'm keeping tabs on, as well as Jorge Soler, but I think the guy to watch for right now is Michael Cerami, pointed out here today on Twitter. Ian Happ is slashing incredibly well right now. 286, 375 on base, and a 679 slugging. That's good for a 183 weighted creation or weighted runs creation plus. That's nuts. He's hitting the ball hard, getting it into the air. He's not striking out as much. His hard rate contact, 47.4%, just below Jorge Soler. He's not grounding out as much, nearly, just under 37%. Strikeout rate, still kind of high, 28%, but you can live with that. Good numbers from Ian Happ, and he continues his hot start after he came back last season and towards the second half of the season and really kind of figured things out. So, you hope it continues. The Cubs' offense has looked really good. Their run differential right now, it's plus 10, which is only good for seventh best, but still good. And you have to think as well that, you know, with the way the bullpen has played, factors into that a little bit as well. But the Cubs have looked good. They're easily one of the best teams in baseball right now in power rankings. They're ranked fifth, according to MLB.com, and eighth by The Athletic. It's their bullpen that's holding them back a little bit, but as they kind of work through the kinks, figure out who they can rely on, it does feel like Jeremy Jeffress is that guy. But David Ross isn't quite ready to say Kimbrel isn't his closer yet. When asked about it, he said, "That's a good question. I appreciate you asking that. I'm not sure on that yet. I'm in the middle of conversations with Craig. We'll have those with him first before I talk with you guys in the media. I haven't seen him yet today, so we'll see where his arm is at today. If he's available today, then we'll go from there." Hoyer also spoke about Kimbrel, saying he's throwing 97 miles an hour. That's not the concern. The concern is his mechanics. Right now, he's obviously mechanically out of whack. The shape of his pitches is not what it is normally. Part of what has made him elite is the distinct qualities of his fastball and his breaking ball. Those aren't there right now because he's mechanically out of whack. Luckily, we have a very willing and open and honest Craig Kimbrel. He knows that he's not the right guy. This is a guy that has just done nothing but dominate his whole career. He knows that he shouldn't be walking guys like this. He knows that his fastball shouldn't be getting barreled up like it is. We need to get his mechanics back in the right place. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily mechanics as it is that guys just know he throws a pretty nasty breaking ball and that his fastball doesn't have a ton of command of his fastball. So I think guys are just picking out his fastball and leaving anything that floats up and then down away. It's easy to pick out sometimes a knuckleball because it does rise a little bit. And if Kimbrel's stuff isn't quite as fast, like his velocity has been dipping down the last couple of years, if that velocity isn't quite there, it doesn't necessarily replicate the same way that it used to. So there used to be a little bit of a tunneling action, as well as like just not anticipating a ball to fall off the table like it does. But a lot of guys are waiting on that knuckleball now, seeing that come through and leaving it alone and knowing that they'll probably get a fastball that they can drive. And that's kind of been the case here. So hopefully there's sequencing issues there, as well as probably mechanical issues. If Kimbrel can just start to locate that fastball a little bit, 97 miles an hour is still plenty fast. You don't have to necessarily blow guys away. And his knuckleball is still devastating. If you can get ahead in the count, guys are still going to swing and miss on that. And even if they do get contact, probably ground ball. So there's probably an approach that they're going to have to figure out with Kimbrel here. But right now, it feels like Jeremy Jeffress is probably the guy the Cubs are leaning on right now to close. Him and Rowan Wick. So, according to MLB, they suspect the Marlins broke COVID-19 protocols, but doubt nightlife was the cause of that. According to the MLB investigators, the failure to use masks, the players gathering in the hotel without masks, whether it's in the hallway or people's rooms, if you really want to know what could have been done better by the club, that's really where it lies. One source told Rosenthal, apparently, who was familiar with the investigation here. It does sound like the Cardinals did as well break protocol, not wearing masks, maybe gathering in places they shouldn't. It's not like these guys are going out and partying. I don't necessarily think this isn't a Lou Williams type situation with the NBA, but obviously that's a concern. However, what was a little more concerning was Rob Manfred blaming the players. He said in a quote to Carl Ravitch, "We are playing. The players need to be better, but I am not a quitter in general, and there's no reason to quit now. We have to be fluid, but it is manageable." Wow. What a POS type of comment. Like, oh my God, what a jerk. Like, yes, yeah, the Marlins and the Cardinals need to be taking these protocols seriously, but you're the commissioner of baseball. Like, you should be taking responsibility for this. You know, hey, you know, we haven't been harder on our players. We're going to do that. Not like these players need to get it together. And it's definitely still some lingering effects from the labor negotiations we had throughout this stoppage of play. So I hope things get better, but if Manfred turns around and tries to blame the players, oh, man, especially after he tried to make it so the players couldn't grieve. To begin with, hypocrisy, whatever. And then final thing here, COVID, or Javi Baez on COVID, a nice quote here. He said, "To be honest, we're doing our thing, but we could get this virus anyway." Baez says, "We're trying to keep that circle small and try and stay away from people and from getting it. It's really tough, but hopefully the other teams get better with the virus. Hopefully we keep going." So Rizzo talked about this too as well. He's nervous. You know, he sees this season of, you know, high risk, high reward type of thing in jeopardy here because there are guys that maybe aren't taking it quite as seriously. Now, it doesn't seem like to be that. That's the issue at the Cubs. They are still the only team in baseball, knock on wood, that have yet to test positive. And that's honestly a testament to how well David Ross and these Cubs have really just kind of embraced the situation they're in and limited themselves to who they're interacting with. And in those moments when they can't, trying to social distance as best as they can. You know, it could all be for nothing. You could still get it, but why take that risk? So I commend them. This is great. And the Cubs have looked great so far. Let's hope the season continues here as we're about a tenth, maybe a sixth of the way through the season. I don't know. We're getting close to about, you know, this is about maybe a fourth of the season we're entering to after the series with the Royals. So season's going to fly by. Before we know it, the postseason's going to be the talk. So trade deadline, of course, at the end of this month. I don't see any teams really pulling off any massive major deals yet, but you don't know. Still trying to formulate what the situation looks like as the season goes on. But nonetheless, Cubs face off with the Royals, and it should be a fun series here. But that will do it here for today's episode of Locked On Cubs. Remember to get this show every day. You need to subscribe to Locked On Cubs in whatever podcast app you use, whether that's Google, Apple, Spotify, TuneIn app, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere you listen to your podcast, make sure you subscribe. Leave a 5-star review. If you have any complaints about the podcast, make sure you send that to lockdowncubs@gmail.com. I check those daily. I'm always in my email. And of course, you can DM me on Twitter as well, Sean R. Sears. If you have any questions, concerns, issues with the podcast, send them my way, but do not leave a bad review on iTunes. I promise. I want to hear these. I want to hear your complaints. I want to hear your issues, but a bad review on iTunes is just hard to come from. So send them to me if you got any questions. Make sure you check out the latest episode of Locked On MLB hosted by Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sully. Tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On MLB after this episode of Locked On Cubs. And then make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. Thanks for tuning into your guys' daily Cubs podcast. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And as always, go Cubs.